And once again, welcome to all whom we have with us this morning, those visiting as well as those who are a regular part of the congregation here. As always, we are glad that you are here. I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 16 and in verse number 16, where we're going to be reading in just a few moments. Just by way of reminder, as was mentioned in our announcements, our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching. It will be here 4 weeks from today, so that's 28 days, not very long. Obviously, we need to start giving consideration to, first of all, making plans to be here each night as we have opportunity to do so. And in addition to that, looking to our friends and our neighbors and doing what we can to invite those within the community to be with us. Let us also not forget to pray for the success of this effort. And if there are other things that we can do, let's do whatever we can to bring glory to God and to prepare ourselves and our minds so that we will glean as much as we possibly can from this particular effort. That having been said, on to the lesson at hand this morning. As I said, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 16 and in verse number 16, where Paul says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." In this particular passage here, we find Paul challenges us to greet one another. Now, of course, this year we have been engaged in a study dealing with the responsibility of Christians toward others, noting we have a responsibility to be an influence toward those who are outside of the body of Christ. We are to be an example and how in every area of our life we need to give consideration to that. We are to serve others. And over the course of the past few weeks, and for several weeks into the future, we are reminding ourselves of what the Bible says about our responsibilities toward one another as brethren. And we are in the midst of a series of lessons dealing with some of the more than 50 one another passages that we find within the New Testament. Passages that describe the way that we as brethren interact with each other. And there's a handful of them that tell us how we are not to interact with one another, and we will deal with those in the future as well. Of course, we've talked about the importance of having fellowship with one another. We've talked about our need to love one another, to be of the same mind toward one another. Last week, we talked about considering one another. And that actually leads in to what we are going to talk about today, in that of greeting one another. And as I was preparing this lesson, you look at that simple expression, and I wondered to myself, is there an entire lesson dealing with the concept of greeting one another? And the answer to that is, we shall see. The other question is it important that we learn to greet one another? Well, when you consider the fact that in three passages of Scripture, this very expression, "greet one another with a holy kiss," is mentioned, that ought to get our attention. So we have Romans 16 and verse 16. We mentioned it in our class this morning, 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 20. Paul repeats that to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians 13 and in verse number 12. Also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 14, the very last verse of that particular text, as Peter is bringing his lesson to its conclusion, he makes the point there, "Greet one another with a kiss of love." And then he talks there about peace be to you who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So over and over it is emphasized that we are to greet one another. And not only is it emphasized that we are to greet one another, it is we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. And so we need to talk this morning about what it means to greet, but we also need to talk about this kiss and what is exactly involved in that. One other passage is in 1 Thessalonians 5:26, where Paul says, "Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss." Again, so this is mentioned over and over and over. And when you look at how often it is mentioned, obviously it is something we need to think about a little bit. You know, now granted, it is in every place where you find this passage, it's at the end of the book. And sometimes it's in the midst of the farewell remarks and the salutations and the greetings. concerning various individuals, and we might have a tendency as we're studying through a book to quickly pass through those things, but it ought to get our attention when we see it over and over and over. So what exactly does it mean to greet one another? And what does it mean to greet one another with a holy kiss? So the first thing we want to talk about is greetings in general. And most of this lesson is going to talk about us as brethren simply needing to greet one another. Greet one another. Now the word for greet there in the Greek language is a word that is somewhat related to the way we use the word greeting today. And when I say somewhat, I think it actually goes a little bit further in describing what is involved in greeting one another. You can look it up in some of the Greek dictionaries. And, you know, that is the New Testament dictionaries of words and so on. One of those defines this word as to engage in hospitable recognition of another. And you can look up others and you'll find very similar definitions to that. And the point is when you look at this word greet, that is actually found multitudes of times, it's more than just simply saying hi. Or hi, how are you? Even though that's associated with it. The idea of this greeting is an expression that comes from an attitude that we have toward one another. And in particular, in all those passages that we noted at the beginning of this lesson, Paul's emphasis in those passages was to us as brethren, as the body of Christ. So there needs to be a little bit more there than just simply, hi, how are you, from that standpoint. You see, when you look at the New Testament, you find that this term greet, this Greek word, is actually found more than 70 times in various forms. That is, in various forms of the Greek language and such. And overwhelmingly, the term greet is used, or greetings, in these particular texts. There's a couple of other times, though. For example, in Acts chapter 20 and in verse number 1, and this is as Paul is leaving Ephesus because of some problems there, it talks about how he embraced, how they embraced and he left. And also in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 13, in an interesting passage here, we find that the Hebrew writers, speaking of the faith of many of those of the Old Testament, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and foreigners. And it's significant to note that he uses this term for greeting, welcomed what they were going through. And that's a consideration to think about there. And you also have Mark chapter 15, and in verse number 18, in a tragic passage here, as you read in this particular text, Jesus has been arrested, and the soldiers that are preparing him to be executed, it says there in verse number 18, they begin to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." That word salute is the same word for a Greek, for greeting. So, whether they were actually kissing him on the cheek or whether they were bowing down to him or doing something else, they were mocking him. So you have there, if you will, a negative use of the idea of a greeting as the term is used. And that just gives us a little bit of a background of this. Not in your outline though, but as I was preparing the PowerPoint, about three times the word salutation is used, which is a form of this word for greet. And what's interesting about these passages, 1 Corinthians 16, 21, Colossians 4, 21, and some other passages, is these are talking about how Paul is writing with his own hand. This salutation, I am writing in my own hand. It's believed that Paul had someone help him with his letters for whatever reason, and that's inconsequential. But as he concludes, he made sure he signed it. And it was his personal letter. And Paul is saying, as I personally sign this and personally write these last few words, it is my greeting to you. Another interesting thought about that is how these greetings are always found at the end. In most of the letters where you deal with the greetings, it's toward the end of a letter. As a matter of fact, interestingly, Romans chapter 16 uses this word greet at least 13 times. So over and over, you know, and we dealt with some of that in class and at the conclusion of 1 Corinthians this morning, greet so-and-so. And all these different greetings that are offered. I find it interesting that a greeting is mentioned at the conclusion. And I'll tell you, there's actually something that we can glean from that. And that is we don't just greet each other when we see each other at first, but it's also related to our goodbyes. It's also related to our farewells. I do not believe it is a mistake that in some languages the same word is used for hello and goodbye. For example, in Hawaii, the term aloha, hello and goodbye. The Jews, shalom, would be peace. And it was offered when you first met somebody, but it was offered as they were leaving. So that's not a mistake. You know, from that standpoint. And there is your farewell greetings, if you will, and your parting words to one another. And I believe that that's related to the idea of this greeting one another. It's associated with it. Like I said, especially when you see that it's at the end of a letter. Another observation about this is the usage of this shows that it's more about recognition than it is a specific form of a greeting. And we're going to talk about this, greet one another with a holy kiss in a moment. But the idea of greeting one another, it could involve an embrace. It could involve the kiss, as we're going to talk about in a few moments. Greek dictionaries talk about offering the hand. We might call that a handshake today. All that's associated with the idea of greetings. And when you look at the word, and like, for example, you look at the Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that they embraced what was happening to them. Obviously, they weren't kissing it. You know, they were embracing the idea of it. And that's really what's associated with the idea of greeting here. It's dealing with recognition. Recognition of an individual because of who they are. So that's a little bit of a background of what we're talking about when we look at this particular text. There's also other greetings at the beginning of books, not so much using the word greeting, but you'll note that Paul in many of his letters, for example, Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:1-3, he'll start with saying, he'll send his greetings to these brethren, grace and peace, he will say to these brethren at the beginning of his letter. So he's acknowledging them at the very first. And that's always a good thing to do. But that brings us to our text in Romans chapter 16, or 1 Corinthians chapter 16, or 2 Corinthians 13, pick your verse. He says to greet one another. And the first thing that I want us to notice about that is that term greet, it's a verb, so it's talking about something that we do. Secondly, it is a command. It is in the imperative mood, if you will. I believe it's the aorist tense, which is indicating it's just something you do on an occasion. But it's a command. And the fact that that command is listed over and over ought to be getting our attention. It is something that Christians are expected to do. Back then, Christians were expected to do that. And I cannot help but think, as we have reminded ourselves all throughout this year, that we're brethren. And because we're brethren, we are what? We're a family. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a brotherhood. We are in fellowship with one another. And you tie all those things together, and you see the idea there that we ought to find joy in seeing one another. You know, I was thinking just a few moments ago in Psalm 122 and in verse number 1 where the psalmist there says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now I realize that there's a gladness associated with the idea of going to worship God. And that certainly needs to be there. But should there also be gladness when it comes to the fact that we are going to be edifying one another? We are going to be assembling together with others of like precious faith? And we look forward to that. And that brings joy in our lives. All of that is tied into the idea of gladness. And when it comes to greeting one another, we ought to be glad to do that. And we ought to want to shake hands with everybody and say hi or do whatever it is, high fives or those types of things. Whatever it is we do, we ought to be glad to do that. And we shouldn't be compelled, and by compelled I mean forced. It shouldn't be something that I only do it because I have to. We ought to want to do it. We ought to develop a relationship with one another that is that deep. So that's the idea of this greeting one another. But he goes on and he describes that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. So let's talk about the idea of this kiss for a few moments as it is used in these various texts here. First of all, the term kiss, it modifies the command to greet one another. And Paul is telling us, and Peter is telling us, that we greet one another in a certain way. And again, it goes back to the disposition. And we'll talk a little more about this. Now, what about the idea of a kiss specifically? Well, one thing that I understand, most of the word commentaries and so on, most of the sources that deal with the manners and custom of the time pointed out that this was the customary way in which they greeted one another back in the first century. And actually, you can take it back to Old Testament times. And you could read typically back there in that region of the world, that's one way that they greeted each other. And it really hasn't changed. Every once in a while you'll notice on television when they show Arabic leaders, leaders from Arabic countries and Eastern countries meeting for the first time, that they will give one another a kiss on the cheek. They still do it today in that part of the world. So if this was something that was customary, of course the question is this saying that we have to follow this specific custom? Or is it more of the idea of the attitude that is related to it? And I'm convinced that it is the latter. It's the attitude and the fact that whatever is involved in our greeting one another is something that we need to be doing. But I want you to understand this, that this word kiss, and as you do research on what this involves in the Bible, it noted that there was nothing sensual involved in it. It wasn't a kiss on the lips, if you will. It was a kiss on the cheek. It was a kiss on the hand. You ever thought about one of the words that we sometimes define for worship? I believe it's proskenuo or something like that. If you literally look up that word and break it down, it means to kiss, toward. The very idea of worshiping God is to bow down in reverence before Him. To kiss the hand of, if you will. The idea of where one shows reverence for a king or a ruler or such. And so that's related, even though that's a different Greek word for kissing. But the idea there is it's related to that. And it could even be kissing the foot. It's interesting when you go over to Luke chapter 7. And in verse number 38, and this is an occasion where Jesus is in the house of Simon, and a woman comes in and basically washes his feet with her tears. And you find there in verse number 38, the point is made there, where it says there that she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And she was greeting him, if you will. But she was doing a whole lot more than greeting, wasn't she? She was acknowledging who he was. But now if you keep reading that, you'll find that Simon the Pharisee, the owner of the house, looks in disdain at what she is doing, and says to himself, you know, if he knew who this was, you know, if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman was. I want you to notice the response of Jesus in verse number 45 when Jesus asks him this question here. You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, a welcome. You gave me no greeting, or the greeting of a friend. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. So you see there a little bit of an idea of what is involved in this. And it's not the kissing on the lips. There's nothing sensual about it. As a matter of fact, I did a search, and this may be not a complete search, but tying together the words kiss and lips in a single verse of Scripture, and I only found it once. And it was in Song of Solomon. So I'm just going to leave it there. So typically it was men kissing men on the cheek, or women kissing women. Again, the point is they went out of their way to make sure that there was nothing sensual associated with it. And of course, back then, the kiss, it was their greeting. It was their greeting that they would offer to one another as they met and often as they were departing from one another. And you have some examples of that in the Old Testament. The book of Genesis gives you several examples of that with relatives kissing one another, coming and going, if you will. David and Jonathan and others in that example. And it would be similar today to a handshake. And I describe the handshake in our society as our formal form of greeting somebody. Now there's more informal forms, and actually they're more close, if you will. A hug is an example of that. And various other things, you know, a pat on the back, and like I said, you know, high fives or fist pumps are popular today, whatever the case, those kind of things. They're more informal, but they acknowledge the person that you are greeting. And often they acknowledge it that there is a close relationship there. And I suspect that if I were to look at this expression, greet one another with a holy kiss, I think it ought to be more than just the informal. It shouldn't be the, let's just hurry up and get this over with type of a thing. There ought to be something that demonstrates there's a relationship there. That type. And that's not to say that that can't be fulfilled with a handshake. But the point is that's something for us to think about. Now, the kiss is qualified as well. It is qualified with a term in three passages, a holy kiss. And we've examined this term holy on numerous occasions. The word holy is a word that means to be pure, as in unpolluted. In other words, there's nothing corrupt in what is taking place. And the idea of this word holy is something that is dedicated to God or set apart to God. As you read there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, just as you're, as God is holy, so we also are to be holy, following after His example. That's the idea of holiness as we're talking about and what is related to this kiss. We need to make sure that it's pure. We need to make sure that whatever this greeting is, there's nothing questionable about it. That's the point. It's pure. It's very pure in its conduct. You know, Paul, and I just thought about this, you know, when he gives Timothy instructions as to how he is to treat older and younger women in 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 and 2, you know, don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Make sure that there's nothing questionable about what is happening in your greeting. It is nothing more than a greeting that is associated with holiness. The holiness that brings us together, sets us apart from the world, but brings us into communion or fellowship with one another. And then you have in this 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 14, where Peter there says, greet one another with a kiss of love. And the word love that is used here, again, is a word that we have continually emphasized in our studies. And it's this Greek word agape, the word that means that we care about each other. We care enough that we're willing to sacrifice for that which is best where our brethren are concerned. It is this love that ties us together. It is this love that Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And as we've been noting over the past several weeks, that passage says the world has the right to judge us by the way that we love one another. And I know that I've mentioned that several times, but let me just make this observation about that. Does that relate to the way that we greet each other? When the world sees us as brethren greeting one another, do they see that love? And do they need to see that love? We know the obvious answer to that. They need to see that love within us. As brethren, we are to let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13:1, and just for sake of clarification, that's not the same Greek word for love. That's the word Philadelphia, or phileo, and it's talking about the love of brethren, and that has to continue in our lives. So we greet one another with this kiss of love. And the point is we're reminded of how much we need each other. So all of that is related to this idea of what we are talking about. And they qualify this greeting. You know, these greetings are one of brotherhood. And quite honestly, they shouldn't be forced. It is something that ought to develop naturally because of this spiritual bond that we have toward one another. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 14, Paul there talks about how we bear with one another, forgive one another, verse 13. But in verse 14 he says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." We greet one another with a kiss of love, and we put on love, which is that bond, that glue, that brings us together, that perfects us. And that's what we need in our lives. Friends, this greeting that we express toward one another ought to reflect a warmth. It ought to have a warm quality about it. You know, that which says, "I'm glad to see you." And that's why I say it ought to be accompanied with a smile. It ought to be accompanied with gladness. It ought to be accompanied, if you can, with a verbal greeting. "Glad to see you. Hi." Things like that. "Hello, how are you doing?" Those types of things, those are related to the idea of the type of a greeting that we are to have. Now, of course, greetings are important. And we need to understand this as we look at Scripture, that greetings are very, very important. You see, a greeting sets the tone. A greeting sets the tone for what is about to follow. So I want you to just think here for a moment. What is the benefit of a proper greeting or a pleasant greeting? What you might call a good greeting. Well, I want you to think about some things that can happen. Number one, a good greeting, a pleasant greeting can cause one who is visiting with us to be put at ease. It could possibly cause them to be willing to return and investigate. You ever think about a greeting is a type of evangelism? Or it's associated with reaching the lost. When you have visitors come into your midst, you let them know you're glad they are there and you greet them warmly. You make them comfortable. You put them at ease to the best of your ability. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and again, I acknowledge this is not dealing directly with the idea of a greeting, but it is dealing with visitors as they are in your midst and in the assembly. And he makes the point there in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14, "If the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues and there comes in one who is uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God truly is among you." Now, dealing with it from a greeting standpoint, it means that He's watching. Visitors are watching to see what we do. And visitors are watching to see how we treat each other. Which is in 1 Corinthians 14. You might say it's what the book is about. The way that we treat each other, or the chapter, excuse me. The way we treat each other, and He observes that. And that has an impression upon His response. It has an impression upon Him. So think about that. A pleasant greeting. It can be an opportunity to introduce somebody to the gospel of Christ. Let them see what it means to be brethren. But in addition to that, a pleasant greeting can be a source of encouragement to those who are young in the faith. Those who have recently obeyed the gospel, and incidentally, there's no time frame on this, but those who are young in the faith, it lets them know, you're a part of us. You don't have to earn our respect. You are a part of us. We are glad you are a part of us. And we're here for you. Young people, those who are young in the faith need that. They need encouragement. They need to be strengthened. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14 to uphold the weak. Now, I know the weak can be talking about somebody that's not what they ought to be in some area. But let me ask you, is a babe weak? Yes. Is a babe in Christ weak when it comes to the knowledge of God's Word? There's a good chance that they are. They don't know enough. They don't know everything. They're still learning. They're still struggling with things. They're still struggling to get the world out of their life. Uphold them. And one way that you do that is when you see them, you greet them in a godly way. With a holy kiss, if you will. So those are just some examples of that. A pleasant greeting also can bring joy to a brother or sister in Christ. Again, I go back to what I said a few moments ago. We're glad to see each other. And quite honestly, when there is unity in a congregation and brethren are what they ought to be, we look forward to that time when we're together. We anticipate those times and we're not making excuses to get out of being with our brethren. We want to be with our brethren. And when we see each other, it puts a smile on our face. It makes us happy. As some say, it warms our heart. You know, especially if you're working with the world and you're dealing with the world day in and day out, and all you see around you is ungodliness and hateful attitudes and bitterness and all those types of things, and you come together with your brethren, you look forward to it because you escape from that for a little while. That's the way it needs to be. And that's the way we need to be treating each other as brethren. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 15, where Paul is given these general admonitions, he says there, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As brethren, we're coming together and we're there for one another and we're happy to see each other and we're happy when our brethren are prospering. And of course, I also make the point in there that sometimes brethren who are struggling with something in this life, they've been dealing with something difficult. Maybe over the past week, some kind of a disaster has faced them in their life. And they come together with their brethren. They know they're with those who genuinely love them and care about them. And it brings joy. That's a good greeting. That's a pleasant greeting. And another thing that a pleasant greeting can do, it can disarm somebody who's bitter. It can disarm somebody that's frustrated. You know, somebody that, for whatever reason, they're in a bad mood. Sometimes, a pleasant greeting can disarm them. It can cause them maybe to back off from that a little bit and calm down. And again, you know, I'm reminded again of the fact that we all have struggles in our lives. And we are there for one another. We need to remind ourselves that we don't repay someone evil for evil. So if for some reason somebody is not in a good mood, and let's say they don't greet you properly, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but that's no excuse for you not to greet them properly. You know, maybe they've been having a bad day and they actually need somebody who shows them the love that they need. That's proper greetings. Well, what about improper greetings? A poor greeting can cause one to think that you don't care about them. The visitor who is ignored, oh, they don't care. Or who sees brethren that are fighting amongst themselves, they don't love God, they don't even love each other. And what's the odds of them coming back? So just definitely something, you know, we need to realize how important a first impression is. And that's why when we have a visitor, we need to make sure they know that we're glad they're here. And I do want to say this, we do a good job at that. Not everything I'm saying is a rebuke against all of us. Maybe we can use some improvement. Maybe there's some of us that can use some improvement on that. But that's just something to think about. Hopefully we do care about each other. Even if it doesn't show. Also, a poor greeting, it can actually distract one from their efforts to worship God. You know, I've had this happen before, and I don't know if you have or not, but you know, Sunday morning blows up. Or maybe you come to services and you're ready to worship God and somebody's not acting normal, and rather than treating you with kindness, they treat you hatefully. They say something sharp to you. And what's on your mind? What did I do? What's wrong? That could cause somebody to not be able to worship God properly. That could cause somebody to not worship God with a proper mindset. And how important is a proper mindset? You know, those verses there, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, talks about partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And I'm convinced that that includes what we're thinking about. Colossians 3, 16, we sing with our grace in our hearts to the Lord. You know, an improper greeting, being treated hatefully as you assemble together can distract from that. Maybe we need to think about that as we greet one another. Now that does lead to some questions that people have. You know, somebody asks, okay, you're saying we need to greet one another with this holy kiss or with this act of genuine caring for one another, which is the way that I interpret that. Do I have to greet everybody every time? Well, the text doesn't specifically say that. But I'll tell you what it does say. It says we need to do it frequently, or at least that is implied. That is what you call a necessary conclusion. It's something that we ought to frequently do. The number of times that it's mentioned demonstrates that this is something that is expected to be done regularly. So, you know, I can't set a time limit and say that you have to do it once a week, once every 2 weeks, or every single service, or twice a service. That's not the point. The point is it ought to be a regular part of your life. And quite honestly, it ought to be something that's natural. It is something that ought to be thoughtful. You ought to think about it as you are doing this. Some other thoughts on this? Stay around and let others greet you. You know, one thing that I've learned about greetings is that it requires at least two parties. You know, always, you know, there's always two parties involved in a greeting. If not, we got a little problem. But it involves more than one party. And so if we are to greet one another, what have we emphasized about all of these one another passages? They are reciprocal. You greet them and you let them greet you. So stay around. Be approachable. And I say on here, work at it. Because, you know, I'm going to be the first to acknowledge that's not always easy. You know, there are some people who want to be alone. That's just their natural inclination. They're loners. There are people that are shy. They don't mean anything by it, but it's just their disposition. And they've got to work at it. Well, work out a little bit. Just give thanks. Think about that. We need to make visitors our priority. And again, you know, that's not always easy or natural, but we got to do that. When a visitor comes in, let them know you're glad they're here. Don't hinder others from being able to greet somebody else. I got to work on that. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know what, if you've got somebody that's visiting, you know, don't occupy somebody to the point that nobody else can get to them. Nobody else can say hello to them. Like I said, I got to work on that. I get caught sometimes by somebody and we'll spend 5 or 10 minutes, and as a result of that, you don't greet somebody else that you could have greeted. Maybe a visitor gets away because you do that. So just things to think about. Something else to think about along this line is get around. And I'll tell you what I mean by that is don't limit your greetings to your favorite group of people. Greet one another as all your brethren. And at some point or another, we ought to be getting around and getting to know everybody a little bit better. So you know, seek to greet and speak to everybody from time to time. That's how we do get to know each other better. And another observation, don't jump to conclusions. Now I want to look at it from the other standpoint. You know, if for some reason somebody doesn't greet you the way that you think they should, don't automatically assume the worst. You know, a lot of these attitudes, again, they're two-way. You give the benefit of the doubt. As I said, greeting others is not always easy. And it's very possible that sometimes somebody may be busy or distracted. I know there's times when I come here, I gotta set up. You know, I got things I gotta set up before services and so on. And somebody wants to talk to you for a minute and it's not a good time. And don't take it personally, but I got things I gotta get done. And I'm not alone. There's others that have to do that. And you know, if somebody just speeds past you and just doesn't say hi, don't assume that they're mad at you or they're ignoring you or they're being unfriendly. Give the benefit of the doubt. Love thinks no evil. We don't assume the worst where others are concerned. And you know, isn't it possible that maybe for some reason somebody just simply didn't notice you? You ever get distracted in your mind, you know, something's on your mind and you just walk by and somebody might actually say hi to you and you don't even hear them. Oh, they're mad at me. Don't assume the worst. Give the benefit of the doubt. Another thought, and this was actually mentioned in class this morning, you know, it's also possible for greetings to be deceitful. You know, sometimes they're not very honest. And you got the example, and this was what's mentioned in class. Judas, how did he betray Jesus? With a kiss. A kiss, a greeting. Nothing holy about it. Because of the corrupt motives that were involved in it. But he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. He told them, the one that I kiss, that is him. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus asks him, are you betraying me with a kiss? Are you betraying me with what is supposed to be a proper greeting? And he was convicted as a result of that. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So it's possible. Not that we ought to be doing it. And you know the reason I mentioned, and in that 2 Samuel 20 and verse 8, we'll turn over there, but I will just tell you right now that what it's about is Joab, who was David's commander, murders a man named Amasa as he's kissing him on the cheek, supposedly greeting him, and he kills him. Deceitful. And my whole point in saying that is don't make your greetings deceitful. Let your love be without hypocrisy. In everything that we do, we need to be unhypocritical. And that's the point. So there you have some thoughts on the idea of greeting one another. And as we bring this lesson to its conclusion, I want you to know, what does greeting one another imply? Number one, it implies that I'm here. It lets others know, I am here. And you're not doing it to show off, and don't misunderstand me in that. Don't even think that it's acceptable to say, oh, I'm here! That's not the point. But you're letting others know that you are here with them. And you're here because you need to be here, and they need you to be here. And you're here for them if they need you. And furthermore, you're letting them know by being here that God is important to you. And you're letting them know that your brethren are important to you. I'll tell you what, there are some who, they arrive and exit so quickly that no one except for the preacher and maybe the song leader knows that they're here. And that's because they're standing up in front facing the audience. I've known of individuals here who came in after the start of a service, went back there to the training room, and then left before or during the invitation. Nobody knew they were here, except for those that were up front and saw them. No chance to greet one another. So, greetings imply, I'm here, and I need to be here, and I'm glad to be here. Greetings also imply that I recognize you. Greetings say, I know that you are here. And I'm glad that you are here. And just as I'm here for you, you are here for me. Just as we're told over and over to receive one another. And in that Romans 15 and verse 7, look up that word receive and what's involved in that. It's related to greeting one another. Welcoming one another, if you will. Greeting one another also implies that I care about you. That we care about one another. Even with our differences, we care. Even though there are distinct differences between us, we care about each other, and that's why we are here for one another. We are, as we pointed out last week, we're to be kindly affectionate toward one another. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with that. That's that idea of what we are talking about as brethren. In describing the body in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 25, Paul says that God placed each member where it is so that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We care about each other. And that's demonstrated by our greeting. And finally, our greeting implies that we are in fellowship with one another. Now, I do need to be clear about this. Not all greetings imply fellowship. You know, there's a time when you just simply extend a hand as a courtesy. But when we're talking about greeting one another with a holy kiss or with a kiss of love, it's an acknowledgement of fellowship. And we're actually told about that in Scripture. You know, in Philemon, in verse number 17, this is where Paul is urging Philemon to receive this escaped slave Onesimus. And he says in verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. That word receive is a word that means you welcome him the way you'd welcome me. So you've got the idea there. There's a closeness that's there. And again, I go to Romans chapter 14 and in verse number 1, where Paul there says, you receive one who is weak in the faith. You welcome him. You realize that there's a bond there. And incidentally, he talks about our differences in that passage. Differences of liberty. And then finally, in 2 John verses 9 through 11... 2 John verses 9 through 11, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's a powerful statement that tells us that there is a degree of fellowship that is related to how we greet one another. And we need to keep that in mind. So we can see, greetings are important. You know, we live in a world, it's very impersonal. You know, people just passing by and greetings don't happen like they used to in many instances. And with many greetings, there's nothing warm about what is taking place. But even though that's the world that we live in, it doesn't mean it has to be that way in your life. And that's the point. Because the life of a Christian is about others. And that's what we need to be showing. So how are your greetings? And how are your farewells? Think about it. Lesson's yours. Open your songbooks now to number 197. At every service, we offer an opportunity for individuals to make their lives right. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we invite you this morning to become a Christian, believing in Jesus. Will you repent of your sins? Confess Him as the Son of God and be immersed. We're ready to help you become a Christian if that is your need. If you are a child of God and you have not lived true to His Word, repent of your sins. Go to God in prayer confessing your sins and resolve that from this day forward you're going to do better. If in something you need the prayers of the brethren, we are here. Whatever